Well, that's a scripture.
Yes, it is.
That says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall what? Men give into your bosom."
Hallelujah.
So you sowed, you gave the first part of that. Now you need to reap. Say, now.
Now.
I need to reap.
I need to reap.
Who does the reaping?
We do.
You do.
Hallelujah.
I'm waiting for God to reap. Well, you're going to wait a long time. He doesn't reap. You reap. You reap. That's funny. That'd be a, you should get that going at school. You reap. Oh, but you reap according to your words. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What do you want to reap? Just like the 30, 60, 100 fold. Most people don't reap any fold. They don't even reap what they sowed. They sowed and it died. Why? Because they didn't do anything about it. Are you here? That's not my message, but I thought that was good. That was profound. You reap according to what you say about it. I don't like it that way. It's too bad. If you don't like that, there'll be a lot of things you don't like. You're happy to be here. You're happy to be alive. You know,
yes.
God's a good God. Let's stay positive.
Yeah.
Stay positive.
Yeah.
God will get you out of it. You're coming out. You're coming through. You're going over.
Glory.
Remember Norman Vincent Peale at all? People, man, everybody got all over him. Reminded me of Oral Roberts, people getting all over Oral Roberts because he said, something good's going to happen to you today. Well, no, he's not. Well, it isn't for you. That was his message, something good. Norman Vincent Peale would just be positive. And I listened to some, I got some old tapes. I was at a, where were we at?
Salvation Army.
Salvation Army. Thank God for the Salvation Army. I went in there and I saw some old books. I like to go in there because I look at the books and see what's on the shelves. And here were some tapes. Kids, you know what the tapes are, the little things you put them in a, right? Norman Vincent Peale. And I'd never heard him before. That guy was a tank.
Yeah.
Wasn't he? He was a machine. My goodness. And he had a message and people hated him to the point where he's not even a Christian. Really? Have you ever listened to him? Tell me he's not a Christian.
Wow.
But it's because he put so much emphasis on being positive to how to get your result. How are you going to have faith work for you if you're not positive? I mean, he boiled it down to so simple a level, everybody's like attacking it. Well, it was so simple because they were so stupid.
And negative.
I guarantee, you know, people's lives would change. Just worldly people's lives would change if they would stop being so negative and start being positive. Be glass half full type people. Are you preaching glass half full? Yes. Right? And then it'll get holy full. It'll start filling up. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
All right. You here?
Yes.
You mind if I start preaching?
Nope.
I thought you were. Well, we'll see. Go to Mark chapter 5. I hope you're excited about God.
Yay.
I mean, you know, people get so caught up in their lives. Do people get caught up in their lives?
Yes.
I know. I do the same thing. You get so caught up in your life that, you know, God becomes second place. Is that a good place for God?
No.
Does he like it there?
No.
Does he work there?
No.
God doesn't work in second place.
Nope.
God doesn't work in second place. If God's not working for you, it's because you got him in the wrong place. You're first and he's second. No, you put him first. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. And you spend your whole day seeking you and everything else first. Hmm. Oh, I feel good today. You need to be, you know, you need to basically, I don't know how to say it well, but put off everybody else till God's first. Do you know that has to happen every day? You need to put off everybody? Yeah, unless God's first, you know, you'll get good at it, at putting God first right away, and then you don't have to put off anybody.
Yeah.
But what everybody says, anybody thinks, anybody else's schedule, all this other stuff, you can put any expletive you want there. I'm not going to put anything there. any expletive you want there. That's what I think of you until God is first in my life today. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
I'm trying to be nice and to say it in a way, but that's the attitude you have to take. Well, what if they're already going to think? I don't care. Expletive. Maybe we should just say, expletive. Right? You understand? I'm just trying to say that's the kind of attitude you have to take. Okay. Oh, you're just going to egg me on, I can tell today. Mark chapter 5. What's the, and that means you're going to have to get up a little earlier.
I don't want to get up earlier. I already get up at 5:30.
Then get up at 4:30. I am so tired of baby, wimpy people. You think the disciples were babies and wimpy people? The original disciples? No. You think Jesus did that, went around and looked for the half-hearted, mediocre people? I'm going to make my posse out of the lamest people I can find. No, he prayed about it. He chose them. He handpicked them by the Spirit of God. The sons of thunder, for goodness sakes. Why would that be? They were probably right in your face. All right. I hope you're happy to be here.
Yes.
But I'm in my own house. I'm hope you're happy to be in your own house. Ah, Jesus is Lord. There's a lot more in this the gospel thing than you've been making out of it. And if you put it last place, none of it's going to work for you. You hear that? Is anybody here? It won't work for you. None of it. Zippo. You've heard me say it before. Die and go to heaven already. Because it's not going to work. God has to be first place for him to work.
I want him to work.
No, you don't. And don't lie to me. You want me to think you want him to work. Did I say that right? You want me to think you want him to work. Did I say that right? Right? That's okay. That's good.
You're good.
Sometimes I hear myself say something, I go, that didn't sound right. That didn't come out right. I swear we should have spanking lines in church instead of these laying on a hand lines. Just spanking lines. A lot of kids need to be spanked. A lot of parents need to be spanked. I'd spank the parents. Kids, you all right with that? Next time the kids do something wrong, we spank the parents. What's going to happen? The parents are going to start making the kids get in line. We got a whole generation. We're being spanked by our kids right now because the parents have never been spanked. Thank you very much. All right, what did I say?
Five,
my dad, Kenny, Dad Hagin used to say, you know, I've gone from preaching to meddling now. All right, where are we? Mark chapter 5. And let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the opportunity to be in your word. Thank you to put you and for the opportunity to put you first again. Right now, we put you first, and we follow you, and you are the leader, and we are the follower. Right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Ooh. How do you lead somebody? How do you follow somebody if they're not the one leading you? You're leading and you want God to help you. You know, you walk dogs for a while and the dogs were always out of place if they're out front. They should not be the leader. You're the leader. Same way, God's the lead. Is God the leader? Then what's that make you? The leader? We're two leaders here? No, you're the follower. He leads, you follow. That means he's first, you're second. How do we mess this up? I'm first, God help me. No. Get in line. Now, brother, are you here?
Yes.
Let me just read something. Mark chapter 5, and let's look at verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship, say again.
Again.
What does that mean? He'd been there before.
Yep.
Why would he go someplace more than once? Because he probably didn't get everything he needed to, right?
Why do you keep going over the same thing over and over again?
Because you don't get it yet. So I'm going to keep going over it till you get it. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Yea. And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Mm-hmm. Is there any faith here? Mm-hmm. How did he get faith?
He heard about Jesus.
He heard Jesus before. He saw Jesus lay hands on people before. He heard the message that Jesus was anointed when Jesus was there before.
Right.
And he came again. And so Jairus came, even being a ruler of the synagogue, and said, if you do this for her, she will live. I believe that. I heard, and now I have faith, and I'm acting on it. Are you here?
Yeah.
Come lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. She say, she shall live.
She shall live.
She shall live.
She shall
live. What was the last words out of his mouth? She shall live. You come, lay hands on her, she shall live. Is that a good confession?
Yes.
Is he acting on that confession?
Yes,
because he came to get Jesus. You come, lay hands on her, she shall live. And verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus. How did she heard of Jesus? How did she hear of Jesus? Not how did she heard of Jesus? Same way, exactly. Same way. She heard him, but last time he was there. She was probably at a medical doctor at the time where he was taking all of her, the rest of her money, and couldn't make the meeting because she was in the waiting room. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. She didn't even ask. She just did it. For she said, say that. For she said. She came and did this. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she had a confession. And then she started acting on the confession. Are you here?
Amen.
Who? I love this message.
Mm-hmm.
And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around to see, about to see, did Jesus sit there and explain everything to them right then? He ignored their stupid statement because they didn't know what was going on. These are his disciples, for goodness sakes. He looked around about to see her, ignoring his disciples. He looked around to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole.
Yeah.
Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. What made this woman whole? Her faith made her whole.
Yeah.
Her acting on her faith made her whole. And what Jesus had to do about it was very little. He just had to be the anointed one that she came and touched.
Yeah. Glory.
Is this right?
Yes.
But the woman fearing and trembling. Okay. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came
from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? So now you got to get this picture here so you can really understand what's going on. Here's Jairus. He heard of Jesus. During that time, his daughter got sick, nigh unto death. And he began to say, if I go get Jesus, and he comes and lays his hands on her, she shall be whole. That was his confession. Yep. He'd probably been saying it for days. Yep. Are you here?
Yes.
If he comes, lays hands on him, she shall be whole. Now, here comes people while Jesus is there paying attention to this woman who snuck in front of him in line. Jesus was already going to Jairus' house. He was already moving in that direction. Say, he was already moving
in that direction.
What direction? The direction of Jairus' words.
Yep.
He was already going there. He was already moving, but in the midst of Jesus moving to bring to pass what Jairus was confessing and believing for, what happened? A distraction came. Somebody else scooched in front of him in line. And then all of a sudden, here you've got some negative report here. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Oh, don't trouble anybody. Don't trouble him. He may be troubled. What'll he think? Don't trouble the master. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, who spoke the word? Did Jairus speak the word?
No.
Other people came and spoke the word. He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And here's where you got to underline right here, if you got any space there, what Jairus said next.
Nothing.
Underline it, put stars around it, highlight it. This is what Jairus said. Yep. Nothing. You get it? What could Jairus have said? All kinds of things. Jesus was moving in his direction. Yep. Jesus was going to come to his house and lay hands on her and she shall live. Yep. She was nigh unto death. Now she just happened to die. Does that change it? No, it should not change the confession. Jairus said nothing. It's one of the most profound statements in the Bible right there.
Yeah.
And you don't have it underlined. He's got me underlining things that aren't even there. Oh, it's there, and it speaks volumes.
Yes, it does. Hallelujah.
Because here's the problem. This is what we're going to talk about a little bit today. We have people that believe God. They do the right thing. They get into a situation of faith. The thing is moving for them, and then they start saying something that stops the flow of God. They start saying something that's negative. They start saying something. They agree with what the world is saying to them, and they stop their faith mid-track, and they never get what they believed God for. Because God didn't love them. No, it's because they didn't continue. Are you here?
Yeah.
I don't believe you. Do you have any examples? Yeah, like 1,000. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Are you here?
Yeah.
I'd read the rest of that story. She gets healed. She goes there. You know, and the people mock him. Remember that? But I got a lot of other stuff to cover here. Is it easy to continue?
No.
Where do people miss it? They miss it in the continuing part. I got a lot of heavy duty stuff for you to hear today, so I hope you stay hooked up. Hebrews chapter 3. Did you find it?
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews chapter 3. You're gonna hear from God today for yourself.
Yes.
Not for your neighbor. Yeah, Ron needs to hear that. I wish Morris was here. He needed to hear that. No, you hear it yourself, right? Hebrews chapter 3. Yay! 3:16. Everybody quotes John 3:16. What's Hebrews 3:16? For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all the saints, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter his rest, but to them that believed not? So, we see here that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And what I want to get across to you today is people get delivered of things. Just like the children of Israel. You understand? Did they get delivered by the hand of God, miraculously bringing Moses, his servant, anointed for a purpose, brought him in, brought Moses in, and delivered an entire people? Yep. He delivered them. Mm-hmm. But then what happened? They went out in the wilderness and died. And I propose to you today that most Christians, although they've been delivered, end up dying in the wilderness without what they were supposed to have, without the healing, without the prosperity, without the stuff that God is bringing to them from the kingdom of heaven, because they did the same thing. They were unprepared to get through the wilderness. Are you here?
Yeah.
And that's a problem with people just getting delivered by the hand of a man of God and an anointing. Because really what it does is puts them out into the wilderness, where if they don't continue and they don't have faith to continue, they'll end up dying there. Wow. Most people are not prepared to not say. Most people are not prepared to not say. They get into a situation, they hear the word of God, they get delivered from something, then they get into a situation and they begin to say the wrong thing. And they end up dying in the wilderness and going around and around and around and around the same mountain. That's what they did. You read Exodus. They went around and around and around this mountain, the same mountain. Isn't that the same? They moved for 40 years. It doesn't take 40 years to walk across that small expanse of space from Egypt to Israel. 40 years, it's a long walk. But they were not prepared to enter in. Why weren't they prepared? They didn't understand how faith worked. They didn't understand how God worked. Are you here? I'm going to help you today. Most people are not prepared to not say. Not say what? Not say anything that is against what you said in the first place to get you there. Right? And it does it take discipline to not say something?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, yes. I just want to say something. All right, go to Mark 11. I hope you're here. I hope you're happy. Probably won't be in a minute, but I still hope you are. Mark chapter 11. Yay, Mark. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have the God kind of faith, or have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Now, is that a good part? Is that what they should do? Did they do that? If you were to do this, you would have already done that. You would say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. You know how hard it is and has been for the body, for the preachers in the body of Christ to get people up to that point. To start saying to the mountain, start talking to the fig tree, start saying to your problem, be removed, get out of my way. If we could get people that far, we're very happy usually as preachers, right? Because that's the word of faith. You got to say it. Say you got to say it. Well, saying it, newsflash, saying it, and if you stop there, it's just going to get you into a big heap of trouble.
Come on.
And preachers, we get people delivered and put them into a worse situation than they were before. It's true. We'll get words to tell people to do something. They'll go do it and they won't be prepared to stay there. And they'll wonder why it didn't work out. Because they weren't prepared to not say. Are you here? Is this starting to get across to you? Because we say, oh, you know, I believe the Spirit of God's told you to go do something. You get up and go and do it. It was the Spirit of God. You should have done it, but you were not prepared to do what you needed to do to maintain that and to stay there. Because your mouth was all, yeah. God delivered. You think I'm lying here? This happens all the time. This happened to the children of Israel, which is a type of the body of Christ. They got out. God delivered them by a mighty hand and a man of God and an anointing and brought them out into the wilderness. And what did they do? They died there. Were they delivered? Yes. And eventually dead. That'd be a good name for this sermon. Delivered, then dead. Delivered and dead. You want to die in the wilderness? Then don't listen to the rest of this sermon. God delivered you so you could die in the wilderness. They've said that out their mouth. God delivered us from Egypt so we could come out here and die in the wilderness. They were saying that out their mouth. Is this true?
Yep.
And what did they get? They died in the wilderness.
Yep.
They got what they said. They were unprepared. They did not know the ways of faith. Let's keep reading on here. Now, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. But what does that mean? Shall not doubt in his heart means, but shall believe in their heart what they say, right?
Yeah.
Shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. It says in there three times and believing once.
Yeah.
The shall not doubt part, I heard that way over here. The shall not doubt part. Are you here?
Yeah.
You still here? I want you to hear this. When it says shall not doubt, it shall not be double-minded or shall not be double-tongued or shall not be duplicitous. Mm-hmm. Meaning you don't go back on it. Mm-hmm. When do people go back on it? When they get out into the situation, they go back on it. Are you here?
Yes.
Let's go to James. You still all right?
Yes.
If you okay that I go through, because you need this.
Wonderful. Awesome.
If you're not prepared to be delivered, sometimes it's better off that people just don't get delivered. Just stay there in your misery and woe. Jesus even said that. If I did, you know, you cast out the devil, how many come back?
Mm.
Seven. He's worse off than at the beginning. Why would he be worse off? Are you here?
Yep.
Yeah.
So you're saying they shouldn't have been delivered? Maybe? No. What I'm saying is they should be trained in how to keep the devil out. They should be trained in how to operate in faith.
Yeah.
So that they can go to the promised land. That's the goal.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm trying. Oh, really, I am. Brother, you need to try harder. Okay, I'll try harder. Let's see, James chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Hey, it shall what? It shall be given him. Does the Bible say that it shall be given you if you ask in faith?
Yeah.
All right. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Say, in faith.
In faith.
Nothing wavering.
Nothing.
In faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask. Let him ask. What is ask? Ask is say. Ask is to use your mouth.
Yep.
Ask is to raise your voice. Nothing wavering when you ask and when you use your voice. If you wait and nothing wavering, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavers is like the wave of a sea driven of the wind and tossed, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8, a what? Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Is he going to receive anything of the Lord?
No.
Would Jairus have received anything of the Lord? If he doubled back. I like to say it that way because that makes a lot more sense to me. Not, you know, double-minded, okay, I'm going this way, I'm going that way. Well, no, when you double back on your faith of what you said, your declaration, And if I could get this over to people, this is the number one place where people miss it. They're out in the wilderness, and they're always going to be in the wilderness because they refuse to do what I'm telling you right now. They refuse to not say anything against what they've already declared. They think it's bondage. In fact, I had a guy tell me that. I got out of the word of faith because I felt it was bondage. I felt like I was always having to watch what I say all the time. No. And you know what he wanted me to do? He wanted me to get together and talk about our problems. We can talk about our weaknesses because we can be strong in our weaknesses. Now, there's a verse out of context.
Come on.
That's what he wanted to do. He got out of the word. I got out of the word of faith. This is the word of faith which we preach. You got out of Christianity and went into some other kind of religious bunk.
Preach it. That's right.
I felt like I was in bondage. No, you already were in bondage.
Yeah, refuse deliverance.
Exactly. It's called discipleship. It's called discipline. You have to refuse to say anything against what your confession has been. You get up in the morning and you do your whole list of confessions. Then for the rest of the day, you refuse. Like it's sin because it is. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's sin when you say something against what you've already declared and what the Spirit of God says. People walking around sinning with their mouth, man, wondering why they're dying in the wilderness. Thousand on one side, another thousand on the other side. What? Christians. That's why they call them pews in church, all of these rotting people. You rot, right? There's another one. You rot. Why? Because they refuse to do this. They say to the mountain, if you can get them that far, which will get them delivered, but then they have to not say anything. Say not say anything. Not say anything ever, as if it was cursing God out your mouth and cursing your mother and your father. Right? Not say anything that's going to go against what you've already said. You want to get to the promised land? That's your way to the promised land. What if the creditor calls me up on the phone? What am I going to do? What if so-and-so says something? What if people think something about me? I'm not saying anything out. That's sign language. I'm not saying anything else out my mouth that's going to contradict that my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Anything? Anything. I'm not going to say anything other than I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Well, what are you going to say? Lots of times you're going to be like Jairus and quoting him. Often. Just say what Jairus said. Change the subject. You get good at that. When you're around people that don't even have any idea what I'm talking about, guess what? You change the subject quickly. Always know what the weather is going to be that day. And have a detailed description. Know the barometric pressure. Know what it's going to be tomorrow and the day after and the weekend. Because as soon as you, it comes to something that is tempting you, say tempting.
Tempting.
Tempting you to sin. Tempting you to say something contrary to what you've been confessing. Change the subject. First of all, Jairus it. Don't say anything. Change the subject. Or just hang up the phone. I lose the connection. Going in a tunnel now. You're breaking up. Isn't that lying? It's better than sinning. And you want to know why things aren't coming to pass? Because this is it. I know. I talk to you. I listen to people. I hear what they say. And they're saying things that are contrary to what the word has said. And therefore, they rot there. This is a great message. Are you talking to me? Yeah, probably. And it, you know, you're going to have to refuse. Yeah, but isn't it bondage? I mean, I believe this, but I don't believe it that much. That's all it means, is you don't believe this that much. How many times have I told you, you must have faith in your words. You got to have faith in God's words. You got to have faith in your words. But you'll say something about God supplying your needs, and then you'll go around and talk the rest of the day how you don't have enough money or how things just aren't working out. And how and thank God for Norman Vincent Peale, who at least goes, let's get people positive, because a number of those people, that's all they need. Bless you. Prosper. Is this right?
Yes.
Are you saying that when I confess by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, that I should not have any supporting words or phrases that say anything opposite of that? And all of your words and phrases should support the fact that by Jesus' stripes I was healed 2,000 years ago and I'm healed today.
Yes.
What if a lot of my people around me want to talk about how I'm feeling? Then where are you going to go a lot less?
There.
You are going to see them cross the street. You're going to go over here. Why? Because you don't want to sin. La, 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 la. I didn't read that part, but Jesus kicked all the people out of the house. They were laughing at him. He said, she's not dead. Why could Jesus say she's not dead? Because Jairus said she's not dead. Jairus said that when I lay hands on her, she's going to live. So we're going to see this. You guys get out of here, you mockers.
Right.
You stink. Are we still here?
Yes.
You get anything out of this?
Yes.
My people miss it on the not say. You get, the deliverance comes, Jesus starts moving in your direction, the answer starts moving in your direction, and you start, you don't not say like you're supposed to, but you say things that block the progress. Things? Oh yeah. All kinds of things that don't even seem like it. They seem like they borderline, well, I don't want to say that, but, right? It seems like bondage. No, you're in bondage. Correction. You're already in bondage. This seems like deliverance. And staying there. Are you here?
Yeah.
I'm excited about this. Well, what did I tell you to turn anymore? I don't even think I read the rest of that, but let's not. Let's continue on. You can read the rest of Mark 11, 23, 24, all that good stuff. Hebrews 10. We read James, right?
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 10. Am I late, making you late?
No.
All right. Okay. Make me late, brother. I got to stay in the wilderness longer. I like my tent. All right. Hebrews 10. Is this good? All right. So you're telling me, you're telling me that once I've declared that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, that I cannot let any word contradict that? All of my speech, all of my conversations, everything I say out my mouth? This is why people don't like the word of faith message. They've been saying it and people don't like it that way. They don't like it that way. Where's the sovereignty of God? That's what they'll say. They'll come up with some kind of excuse. Where was this? Was God sovereign in the wilderness with the people of Israel? It's our type and shadow. Was it? Was it? Was he sovereign in the wilderness? If he was sovereign in the wilderness, he would have just taken them and moved them right into the land of, they wouldn't even have had to walk. You'd have seen this entire people just floating along. Right? But he got, his plan was for them. That would just be cruel. And God's not cruel. I'm gonna deliver these people, and I'm gonna take them out in the wilderness and watch them die.
No.
We know God's not like that. His plan was to get him there. He was not sovereign to the degree where he could just take them and move them in there without them being prepared. All right, I'm keeping moving here. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Yay. Glory be to God forever. Let us, who?
Us.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Again, without wavering, without doubling back. You understand what wavering means, right? You didn't waver. You just stood there. You stood your ground. For he is faithful that promised. You good with that?
Very good.
Go to verse, go to Hebrews 6 while we're right here. Hebrews 6, verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith and the patience of faith, where you're not doubling back, you're holding on to your faith until you inherit the promise, because he's faithful that promised. Are you here? Without faith and the knowledge of how faith works, you are unprepared to be delivered. You get that?
Yeah.
Without faith and the knowledge of how faith works, you're unprepared to be delivered. Most Christians are already in the wilderness and they don't know it. And they're going to die there. God delivers them. They say Jesus is Lord. They don't even know how they got saved half the time. They don't know that they got saved by confessing the word and believing it. Now they're out in the wilderness and nobody's teaching them faith. Nobody's teaching them how faith works. So they die in the wilderness without any of the promises of God, except the ones that accidentally bump into them. Right? Does that make God happy? Is that his plan for his church, to die in the wilderness? All right. You good?
Mm-hmm.
Is God a good God?
Oh, yes.
The things I say, if you act on them, it will deliver you. Mm-hmm. But without faith and the knowledge of how faith works, people that hear the word, act on it, and are delivered, are condemned to die in the wilderness. Isn't that great? They are condemned and judged to die in the wilderness. Glory be to God forever. It's not a good place to say glory be to God forever, but it's the truth. Jesus said you stand judgment for what? Every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth.
Yep.
Are you here? Glory be to God forever. You aren't going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm almost done. I hear my clock. It's telling me that I'm almost done. God does not respond to need or to neediness or to needy things. God only responds to faith. If God responded to needs, he would be following the devil around. Because the devil's creating needs. You understand?
That's right.
And so God doesn't respond to need. Otherwise, there'd be no need in the earth. If there was a need and God just came and filled it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would be responding to the need. So when you have people that are needy Christians, needy, 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 they're not in faith, and God's not going to respond to them. And I'll bring this up because it often happens to me, you know, because people think, you know, as being a pastor or whatever in front of a church, that you're going to give to their need. They don't understand that I'm not going to do that. God doesn't do that. Why am I going to give to your need? And they'll write you letters. Well, we need such and such amount of money to build this, you know, whatever it is, their need. They're telling me their need. God doesn't do anything for you if you're just going to tell him your need. God doesn't respond to needs. I dare say he doesn't even hear it. He knows there's a need there. He responds to faith. Faith is what gets you delivered, and faith is what you have to understand and know to get the promise to you and to get through that patience area. But that's where everybody dies. Say that's where everybody dies. When you see people dying and they're a Christian, that's why. Aren't there other reasons? No. Every Christian has the right to be healed. Every Christian has the right to be the head and not the tail and have all their debts paid off. Everybody, it's paid for, it's provided for. If they get saved and then they die, either financially or physically or mentally or any other way, right?
Yep.
Before the time that they decide and that they're done, well done, good and faithful, right? Then it's because they didn't understand faith. It's because most likely that they said the wrong thing and they kept saying the wrong thing. Yep. This is a great message. He only responds to faith. And you don't walk with God by feelings. What do you think Jairus felt when the people came and told him that his daughter was dead? He probably felt really bad. Did he? What did he say? You should quote him often. You should quote Jairus a lot. Next time something comes up and you want to say one thing, quote Jairus. I'll put that quote on Facebook. Jairus said, why is it? Because we need to learn to not say. Unless we're going to say something positive. I'll give you an example here and then we'll end. I remember a time when, you know, I was a little behind in the bills and whatnot. And they were coming in and you're behind in the bills and, you know, it seems to be stacking up. Seems to be stacking up. And people call on the phone. And so here's this stack, right? I've already confessed to the stack. I said, what are you doing in my house? Get out of here. I call you paid for. I call you paid off. Now, what am I going to do? I've got to make sure that every word I say lines up with what I just told those pieces of paper. Otherwise, I'm doubling back. I'm doubting. Get it? Otherwise, I'm going to die in the wilderness. So you've got to now, the rest of your day, say the rest of my day.
The rest of my day.
I confess the word, but now the rest of my day has to line up with what I've already said. And a trick that I've used, and this could help you too, is don't go with the flow of the world. When the mail comes, just because it drove up in your driveway and delivered a package doesn't mean you need to open it right then. Just because the phone's ringing doesn't mean you need to pick it up right then. And I'm specifically talking about the mail. It's a little easier to put off the mail. So yeah, the mail comes in. There's an envelope. I know what it's going to say to me. It's been saying it to me for a couple months now. Stop saying that. In writing, no less. Very authoritative. So you know what I do? I ignore it. I don't mean forever, but I ignore it. I make it feel me ignoring it. You ever ignore somebody in a way they can feel it? Make that stupid piece of paper feel you ignoring it. I ignore you. Right? And then I go and I wait. Say he waits. He waits until I get in faith, and I've done my confessions, and I'm all tanked up, and I know that I'm ready. I've been saying the right things, now I'm going to say the right things to it, and then I'll open it up, and I'll say, I called you paid for. Right. You're wrong. This balance here, or lack of balance, or whatever it is wrong. First of all, I Jairus'd it. Mm-hmm. I ignored it. And then I confronted it with the word. You see? And that's how you do it. That's how you do it in every situation. If you got, you know, a sickness or a pain or something like that, the best thing, and here's my advice to you, ignore it until, I don't mean ignore it until, you know, you're 6 feet under or something. I'm saying ignore it until you can say the right things, till you can say the thing that is lined up with what you've already declared and what the word already says about it. And then talk to it. This is a lifestyle, people. Mm-hmm. Are you getting some of it? I think you're getting some of it. You got it, you know, I'm not telling you to not pay your bills. I'm not telling you to ignore all sickness and disease. I'm telling you that you need to keep what you're saying and you need to ignore certain things until you can say the right thing. Be like Jairus until you can say what needs to be said, until it lines up. Ever heard of the concept of alignment? When things get all aligned up, it works much better. And you'll see, says the Spirit of the Lord, that as soon as these things get lined up in you, that the answer is not far off. You'll be happy, and there'll be great rejoicing, and we will all rejoice together. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the prosperity that's coming to us, and we get ourselves in alignment, and we commit right now. Say this after me. I commit.
To keep
my words
in line
with your word.
Your words.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.